That's half a day.
I'll wait till we, because we're going right into close, so.
Good evening and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors meeting, Wednesday, August 5th, 2015. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Director Nichols.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Chairman Hill.
Here. This evening we have scheduled first off a closed session, and I will ask first of all council to introduce what the closed session items are, and then we'll have public comment on the closed session items, if anyone would care to comment on those, and after that we'll move to the closed session. So, council, could you please do that?
Yes, and before I jump into tonight's closed session, I'm going to report out from last meeting's closed session, since we reported out, but AGP had already packed up, so.
Thank you.
The board heard a report from interim legal counsel during the closed session from the last meeting and took no reportable action. And then for tonight's closed session, we have a number of items. The first is conference with legal counsel for existing litigation pursuant to paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, two cases, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus State Water Resources Control Board and South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus Special District Risk Management Authority. We also have conference with legal counsel for anticipated litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 of subdivision D of section 54956.9. And our last item is public employee appointment pursuant to government code section 54957B1 for the district legal counsel.
Is there any public comment on the closed session items?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'm baffled by this agenda and how the flow of the meeting is going tonight. We have a closed session and the public can only speak on that issue. Then we come back to open session where I can now speak on any item that is not on the agenda. Then you go back to closed session. As a member of the public, I want to say this agenda, I feel, is meant to keep the public from attending this meeting, and that is wrong. You should run these closed sessions concurrent, and maybe you should do them at the end of the meeting. That way, the public can say what they want, and if they don't wish to stay, they can leave, or they can hear the meeting and then leave before the closed session meetings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comment, Patty. Julie.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. I haven't met you. Welcome tonight. I wanted to speak to the public employment and the district legal counsel. I took the time early this week, maybe it was last week, and did a public records request for the responses. And it occurs to me that those are not available for the rest of the people in the room, but I took the time to go through them, so I know who your candidates are. I've developed some opinions, some ideas, but what I'm concerned about is that when we embarked on the request for proposals and a process, that we set a proposal timeline, and we're already behind schedule. The review panel will evaluate the proposals coming in on July 17th, they were due. The review panel, I don't know who that is, was to review them the week of the 20th, and then as of tonight, you would be notifying the top candidates and conducting the interview. So I expected to see all the firms here tonight and everybody go to closed session for that. And I don't know if all the firms are here, but I know that certainly the proposals haven't been made available for the public. And while I've taken the time to come up to speed on what the proposals are, I don't think everyone else has. I don't know if you, even the board members, have received them. But I think we're just already out of step with the format in which we adopted. The board approved this, and it gives me some concern. I thought the idea was that the Brownstein firm was an interim firm and that we were going to move to our own permanent counsel as quickly as possible. And in the meantime, they continue to accrue billing and spend a lot of time learning the district when the new permanent counsel should be here by next meeting. According to this timeline, you'll be negotiating the contract the week of the 6th through the 12th and the award the contract on the 19th. So that's just 2 weeks away. And we should be having a new firm by then. So I'm confused by this item kind of coming late to the board.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And I, with regard to the agenda, I can only imagine the Downey Brand Law Firm, their lawyer, Melissa Thorne, is that her name? She must be here. She must be in the wings waiting. That's the only reason you'd move the closed session up front instead of making it more convenient for the public. Speaking of the Downey Brand Law Firm, that is your first closed session item. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, I have serious concerns about that firm's ability to handle the negotiation of the administrative civil liability fine that's been levied against this district. This item seems to have a life of its own, and it continues to grow legs, as they say. As you also know, as long as you have the Downey Brand Law Firm on retainer, you also have Mike Seitz to help manage that. So it's a very expensive proposition, and at the end of the day, I have to question how much money additional are you going to spend beyond the $1.1 million fine? To get this settled. So that would be my comment on your first closed session item. And then lastly, your public employee appointment. I am indeed confused about this. First of all, I'm not sure why it needs to be on closed session. This is something that often is handled in an open session. Unfortunately, you've cast a net so narrowly, you have just three candidates to consider. I think staff has wasted a lot of time in that RFP process. It's been inefficient. It's failed to really capture a good array of candidates to consider. Unfortunately, I understand the importance and the urgency and the need to fill the council's position, but I think you need to recast the net, frankly, and send out another batch of RFPs, or another RFP. So those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other comment on the closed session items this evening? Okay, hearing none, we'll come back to the board and we will move to the closed session. I'd like to personally thank the members of the public in advance for your patience with this. call the meeting back to order and thank the public for their patience with this while we had the closed session items. At this time, I'd like to ask District Council to report out for the closed sessions, please.
On the first two items, conference with legal counsel for anticipated litigation and conference with legal counsel for existing litigation, the council heard an update from legal counsel and took no reportable action. I recused myself from the third item, and so Rick Sweet will be reporting out for that item.
The board directed staff to extend the advertising date for the request for proposals for legal counsel September 8th and to expand the advertising to a wider audience and with a goal of selecting legal counsel to by September 16th.
Okay, thank you very much. That brings us to public comment on items that are not appearing on the agenda tonight. Would anyone like to address the board on items that are not on the agenda this evening?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. Chairman Hill and board members, I would like to address an incident that occurred at the last board meeting and how I was offended by the remarks by board member Lucy. Mr. Edwards got up to speak and he stated how he felt Mr. Sweeney had gone off the reservation, and Miss Lucy got up from her chair, started yelling at Mr. Edwards, then proceeded to stomp out of the chambers. The meeting was stopped, and it took Mr. Scholes and the attorney to get Miss Lucy back in the room. She then went on to tell us part of her life story and about her grandmother and slammed the audience for allowing Mr. Edwards' comments, and then ended by calling him a bigot. When the meeting went to closed session, Miss Lucy walked up to Mr. Edwards and proceeded to cuss him out with some very colorful language, which I did not appreciate at all. I don't cuss at her, and I don't think it was professional of her to do so. Any issues she has with Mr. Edwards are between the two of you. Bring it outside or into another room. In closing, I would like to state the meeting should have continued on. There was a quorum, and if Miss Lucy is so thin-skinned, then maybe she should not be on the board. Next time you want to have a little hissy fit, why don't you just take your marbles and go home? But don't subject me to your foul mouth, and I would like to ask for an apology here and now.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your comment. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Good evening. Beatrice Spencer from Arroyo Grande. I was not able to attend the last meeting, and so the items that I'd like to talk about are from having watched the AGP video. With respect to the billing for Oceano, I was trying to follow along with Director Lucy's math, and so I pulled up the worksheet that she was talking about with the third item down being the $22,006.85, and maybe she can clarify for me because she said it was very easy, but she talked about dividing that number by four and that to be sharing the cost between the Sand District, Arroyo Grande, Grover, and OCSD in that order. And as try as hard as I might, dividing 22,000 dividing that by four didn't come out to be anything that I could see that we had been talking about previously. And multiplying the $22,006.85 came out to be $88,027.40. And I thought we were talking about, the conversation was something about $84,000. So maybe she can just explain that math to me because I really couldn't follow along. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board on items that are not on the agenda this evening?
Good evening, Tim Brown, Arroyo Grande. Respectfully, I would ask that Mr. Sweet's contract be put up for bid and to see if there's any other individuals that are interested. I am looking back regarding the audit that came forward, and there was discussion about the audit, and he was fully unprepared. He's getting paid an awful lot of money for a short period of time per month, and I could do that job for a lot less money and for the same amount of time. So I think you owe it to the ratepayers to just put it out for bid. Maybe he's reasonable. Maybe his bid and his time is reasonable, and maybe I'm off base. And if I am, I fully admit that. But you owe it to the ratepayers to at least put it out for bid to see what else is out there. Again, maybe I'm wrong, but just watching from the audience, it seems to me that he's mailing it in. He's not putting in the energy in that he should. And that's no disrespect for Mr. Sweet. I know he's probably done well in his past life and his past jobs, but this is a job that deserves more energy and more attention, and I think you owe it to the ratepayers to, at a minimum, put it out for bid, and if I'm wrong, and if I'm glad to be proved wrong, but to see whether or not there's anybody else out there that can put the energy and the time in that needs to be done, because I was really shocked when we did the audit, and he was really unable to speak to the issues at hand. He was searching while I watched him. He was searching for answers, and as the manager, he should have those issues at hand. And so, for that reason alone, I think it's worthy of a discussion at least about putting out for bid. You have nothing to lose by putting out for bid. If he's doing a good job, and he's doing it at the right rate, that'll be proven by putting it out for bid. So, thank you.
Thank you. To follow up on that, I would request that an evaluation of the performance of the district manager be put on the next agenda, obviously as a closed session item. And I don't know that it's yet appropriate to entertain bids on that. But I would ask that be put on the next agenda, please. Is there other public comment on this item? Or not on this item, I'm sorry, on items that are not on the agenda this evening?
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach, and I work really late at night, and I was working late at night, and to entertain myself, I turned on Channel 21. And lo and behold, here was our sanitation district meeting there, but there was only one problem. There was no sound. And it seemed as if perhaps it cut off before it was finished, but because I can't lip read, I wasn't sure. So I checked it, and the audio was working fine at slow span, and I have not yet been able to download the actual video, but that could be my computer. So just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. And then also wanted to remind the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande that the district has a FOG program and a fats, oil, and grease program that they operate at probably 60% of the cost that the city businesses are currently being charged. And I know we all do. We all talk a lot about supporting our local businesses, and this is such a simple fix. We could have our local agency going in there and working with our local businesses at a much lesser cost to those businesses, and I'm hoping that you'll consider that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on items that are not on the agenda this evening?
Good evening. Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. The comments that were made just last, we apologize for any off-air problems. We are going through a new system at the county, and we're working out some bugs with the process. So if there's any of your question as far as broadcast capabilities and not being able to see something or download something, we offer ourselves to give anybody, member of the public, to call our office in Morro Bay at 772-2715. So if any members hear of problems, from any of your constituents, please don't hesitate to have them give us a call. We're always willing to try to work out and help people get files off of online, as well as see them in any way, shape, or form. So thank you for that time.
Thank you very much, and I've had good success contacting AGP in the past when there were problems and found very helpful. We appreciate that. Julie.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I had similar questions to Beatrice Spencer with regard to the – it looks like Mr. Ogren has backed into some numbers trying to come up with the $22,000 annual – charge for billing. I'm glad we're past that. I'm glad we're not going to go with Oceano. I think, you know, we haggled over that a little too long. But I'm a student of the South County, and I attend your meetings. I attend Rio Grande. I've only attended a few Grover Beach meetings. I'm clearly at the Sanitation District meetings often. On July 8th, I was at the Oceano Community Services District Board meeting, and the billing item was on their agenda and discussed. Actually, it might not have been on the agenda. It was discussed as part of a report. But Ms. Lucy referenced policies and procedures here at the Sanitation District that would preclude the district from, your district, the sanitation district, from doing any business with anyone without a contract. Now, contracts are good for everyone. Contracts protect the contractor and they protect the client. So we always want to see a contract. But there's been some handshakes and winks and nods in this South County for a long time, and obviously that all needs to be cleaned up. And I think Mr. Scholes was sincere when he asked that Mr. Ogren continue to collect and that we come up with an equitable. You missed that meeting, Ms. Lucy. You weren't here that night, and AGP wasn't on board yet. But he asked that Oceano continue to bill without a contract and that we would hammer out the details along the way. And again, just as was directed by your board numerous times, that an equitable formula that applied to all three agencies, using the same formula, you would come up with something that worked for everyone. And clearly, with this and whatever the numbers mean, because Ms. Lucy clearly misinterpreted them at the last meeting when she tried to explain this to the public, it's not simple, like you said, that this doesn't work for the sanitation district. And when I spoke to Gayla at Grover Beach, she had some memories of meeting with Mr. Geeslin and the finance director here at Arroyo Grande, and that they actually worked through a formula, but Oceano still is sticking to some other number. At the July 15th Sanitation District meeting, Ms. Lucy again referenced the policies and procedures that would preclude this district from doing business without a contract. So I'm a student of the South County, I did a public records request of your staff asking for the citation in the policies and procedures that would preclude you from doing this business. And your staff said there wasn't one. So I went to her staff, and I asked her, actually, and she didn't respond in an email. You didn't respond. So your staff did respond, and they, too, knew of no such citation or policy or procedure that would preclude this district from working without a contract. And I guess what I wanted to point out is the irony in all of this is that Oceano had Tom Geeslin working as their general manager for 8 months without a contract. And when you did get a contract, he misinterpreted it and stole thousands of dollars from your district. So I want you to be accurate for you And I want, I don't want history to be rewritten. You're right. I'm sorry, Mr. Hill. I don't want history to be rewritten by assertions that are inaccurate. And this policy or procedure doesn't exist, and your district is obviously going to go another direction, and I'm pleased by that.
Thank you. Any other?
You know, can I just make a...
Please.
Ms. Tacker, thank you again for pointing out my flaws, and I did say policies and procedures, and I do apologize for that, and you're absolutely accurate. It was not in the policies and procedures. I did, though, receive a receipt from my email, and I do just use Yahoo, as you well know, saying that you did receive my email, clarifying that after I received your email calling me a big fat liar, which I'm cool with that. But what it was a health and safety code. And I forwarded you on the health and safety code. And it's health and safety code 4741-7. And in fact, I probably have a copy here for you. But I could resend it to you, even though I do have a receipt saying that you did receive that. And it's 5471 out of the health and safety code. And it's 5472-5. And it says that you can't do work without a contract. So why don't you read, and I really do sincerely apologize for not being accurate and saying policies and procedures versus health and safety code. And thank you for calling me on that, because I, too, believe in things being accurate.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to address the board on items that are not on the agenda this evening? Ms. Price.
My name is Patricia Price. I'm from Arroyo Grande. I have several things. One is that I'm really confused at why it's such a problem to come up with a formula that is fair to all three cities. It seems like it, and I really don't know what I'm talking about. I've just been listening to this for months and months, and I thought there must be something I'm missing, because it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to come up with a formula that would be fair to everyone. And I would like to see us do that as soon as possible, get a contract, get past this thing. The second thing I wanted to mention is that we have a forensic audit going on, and I haven't heard anything about that, and I wanted to inquire and see, can anyone speak to that and say where we are with that? Has there been communication? Is there anything, any report of what is going on?
That's a very good question. I've not been informed of that. Let me ask staff to see if we can provide a status report, please, at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on items not on the agenda? Tim, I think you've already spoken on this.
Respectfully, Chairman Hill, you allowed the directors to comment on public comment, which you're not supposed to do. That you're just supposed to take public comment, and you allowed Miss Lucy to comment on public comment, which is not appropriate response. And respectfully, because of that, she's opened up a can of worms that I think you should allow the public to comment on. So whether you allow me to comment or not, I just want to say that it's not typical policy or procedure to allow board members to comment on public comment. So I won't say anything if you don't want me to, but I just want to mention that it's not typical. I know at council meetings we don't comment on items that are not...
I agree with you that we don't want to engage in dialogue. It is appropriate, if council might correct me if I'm wrong, for
board members to make a brief statement after, or report on their own activities.
I don't believe it's appropriate for board members to comment on public comment. So that's one thing, and that's why I'm here. Because
you're correct that public comment is for us to listen to the public, not to hold it.
And because I respectfully believe that because she spoke and put something out in public view, that we have a right to comment on it. And whether I'm right on that or not, I'll let council or you decide.
If it's brief, we can entertain a comment.
Well, I just want to speak to the idea that Miss Lucy keeps talking about, the idea that we need to have a contract, and I agree with her. I think that's true. But the reality is this board, and there's other JPAs as well, that have not had contracts, that have done things by word of mouth. And I don't believe this board should respect any demand for payment without a contract in place. So that's my comment. I agree with Ms. Lucy. We need to have contracts. That's an important issue. Absolutely. We've been too many things by word of mouth and handshakes. And in the old days, that would work. But it's not working currently. And there's a number of JPAs on the Central Coast that are not functional and are dysfunctional because of the fact that there's no contract. So I would respectfully request that you not agree to any payments of any kind without a formalized contract between all the jurisdictions. And I apologize if I'm out of place, and I don't stand up here to speak to try to embarrass you, Mr. Hill, or to speak out of line. I just felt like because you allowed her to speak, that the public should be allowed to respond to her comments, and not just hers, anybody else's as well. But I agree with her absolutely that there needs to be a contract in place, and we should not be, to be fair to all parties, we should not be agreeing to any payments without a contract that is fair to all parties involved.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Does anyone else have a comment on items that are not on the agenda this evening? Okay, hearing none, we'll move along to the consent agenda.
Chairman Hill, may I ask that you consider a break in some point in your agenda?
Perhaps after the consent?
However, that's okay.
This is a time for the board to consider the consent agenda. I have some issues with the minutes of July 15th. Which starts out with, I think the members present should be Director Tim Brown from the City of Rio Grande, Vice Chair John Scholes, City of Grover Beach. I believe Mary Lucy was here, but I don't believe she's...
Mary Lucy Guerrero?
Guerrero. So I would ask that those corrections be made. On item... On page 3, there's an action that discusses a roll call vote 2-0, and I watched the replay of the meeting, and my understanding is that was, in fact, a 2-1 vote rather than 2-0, and that's actually reflected in the text below. And then... On page 3, the top, where it says action...
On the 7:15 minutes,
that's correct. At the top of page 3 on my copy, it says action, roll call vote 2-0 to not enter into a short-term agreement. And then the vote is reflected below accurately, and I believe that reflects a 2-1 vote, not a 2-0 vote. And then at adjournment, it says that Director Hill adjourned the meeting. I was not present at the meeting, and I believe that Vice Chair Scholes was the one who adjourned the meeting. So if this could be brought back at another time with the corrections, please. Item 6C, which is the review and approval of warrants, I would ask that the payment for legal services be amended to pay the amount requested less an amount for approximately 5.5 hours that was related to preparation of a policy. And I would ask the board to consider approval of all the warrants, with that warrant reduced by, according to my calculation, $1,275. Or I'm sorry, $1,402.50, I think is the number. Is that, which just reflects the 5.5 hours for a decorum policy. Do members of the board have any other issues with the consent items? No? Is there public comment on the consent items?
Debbie Peterson, Grover Beach. I'm going to rattle through these because I know we've got a big agenda tonight and you all have a lot to do still. First of all, I wanted to commend all of you on, looks like you've almost got $1 million of clear cash generated from your revenues this year for the second year in a row. So good job. Good job, everybody. That's a really encouraging number. And I also noticed that for the first time in a decade, it would appear, I hope I'm right, it would appear that actually all of our bank balances are really balanced at the end of the month and the end of the year. So if that's the case, I'm sure Amy will tell us if it's not, but I'm delighted to see that. I've raised a few questions in the past, and I'm beginning to feel a bit like a broken record. I would like to see us reconsider our depreciation figures. I'd like to see the board take a look at this definition of reserves and the importance of reserves. And one other thing. On the minutes of July 1st, and that's on page 2, the very last sentence, it says that Debbie Peterson distributed a handout from a comparable district that gave a good example of what depreciation should be. It also gave a good account descriptions. I think that's inappropriate because the decision about good is a decision of the board. Whether or not something is good on accounts really doesn't, it's not up to me to determine that. So I'm thinking that it would possibly be more appropriate and more respectful of the board if it said that I distributed what I believe to be a good example. And it was from the Midway Sanitation District. And that is all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on the consent items?
Respectfully, I would agree with Chairman Hill's comments regarding the legal bill. That was not a vote of this board. They did it based on comments by Mr. Scholes, which I think were good comments. I don't have any problem with his actual comments. But we should not be paying for something that was not voted on by this board. So respectfully, I'm asking that you not pay that portion of the bill. I think that's a reasonable compromise on this issue that was delayed because of this issue. And I'm hopeful that legal counsel would agree with that discussion. And if they don't, that they would feel free enough to discuss why they don't believe it is. Because I don't want them to feel shortchanged for work that they actually did. But I also don't want them to get paid for work that wasn't voted on by this board. So if Chairman Hill's calculations are incorrect or inappropriate, then I would hope that the legal counsel would feel free enough to discuss that in a public forum where the public could see it, because I don't want them to be shortchanged either. They deserve to be paid for the work that they did. So if the numbers are wrong or incorrect, that should be in public view, and I'm hoping that we come up with a number that everybody can live with. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on the consent agenda items?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I support the idea that you presented with regard to reducing the bill. It still seems like an awful lot of money. $13,373 is that warrant. What else is that work? Without being able to see the bill and see who's done the work, some of the legal counsel and staff, they bill at different rates, and unless you know who's done what work, that number could be something different. And I don't know, maybe you've seen it and been able to glean who did what work associated with the decorum policy. To further back your argument, the minutes of that meeting reflect that Mr. Sweet said they were already working on a decorum policy. So the board didn't direct it. He said they were already doing it. And so I don't know where that direction ever came from. The other thing that would back your argument is that you already have rules of decorum. They're in your bylaws. And so, you know, I don't know. I would have thought interim counsel, the very first document they'd pick up would be your bylaws, and they would have already known you had a decorum policy and that really only revisions should have been brought to the board, not drafting a whole new policy. Lastly, it prompted such outcry from the public and some challenges from members of the public that then your legal staff had to go spend more time and more money defending themselves. So I hope you don't pay them for that either, that time spent defending the work product that clearly your board had some heartburn over and wasn't willing to pass either. So there you go.
Thank you. Any other comment on the consent agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll bring it back to the board. I'd be willing to take an attempt at a motion if that's acceptable. I would move that we approve consent agenda items 6A and 6D, with item 6C to be approved such that the Brownstein bill is reduced in the amount of $1,402.50. And the remainder of the bill authorized to be paid, in that reflected the preparation and response related to the preparation of a decorum rule, and that item 6B be brought back with corrections at a future meeting. It's been moved and seconded. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichol?
Abstain.
And Director Chairman Hill?
Yes. Item passes 2-0 with one abstention. Plant Superintendent's Report, Mr. Clemens.
Good evening, Directors. Okay, we'll start off with operations. Our processes continue to operate within permit limits, with the exception of total suspended solids. We had high TSS values resulted in an exceedance of our permit for the month of July, and also for the last week in July and the first week in July. We've implemented troubleshooting policies. One of the issues is when we had the pipeline failure, it was unplanned. major process change, and we have, again, a biological and a physical process, and when you change how you feed that, then, of course, you have to reevaluate every particular part of the process. In the initial 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time just cleaning up the mess that was created from the initial spill and the initial discovery of the pipe. And then, of course, if you remember at the last meeting, we had had high suspended solids, and we had done some things to clean up the tanks because that's what we needed to do first. And our suspended solids values had dropped from 60 down into the 40s at that point. Of course, now they've risen again back into the 60s. So cleaning up was only it corrected the problem for a short time. What we've done since that time is once we realized we still had a problem, we've gone to evaluate every part of our process again, because now we're feeding into our primary clarifiers, which are generally meant to be quiescent or totally still on the top, and we're feeding into them because we have to, and create a mixing action in the tank that's designed to allow settling. We plan to rectify that this week by changing how we, the positioning of the feed. We're going to try to feed back through the splitter box. We're going to try to reconfigure the piping where we're feeding back through the splitter box. We think that'll have a major impact on our suspended solids readings. In addition, in the interim, we'll probably add polymer, a chemical that'll help settling. So that should reduce the amount of suspended solids. It's been a challenge. If the plant's running, not running. It's never run like this, never had to run with bypassing the splitter box for an extended period of time. So we're learning some things new. We're staying on top of it, and we got to make sure we allow as little collateral damage as possible to our circumstance. Okay. Some of the things we had to face so far is our chlorine sensors gotten really fouled a lot lately. We have to start cleaning. We had a valve that wasn't sealing properly. We had overloaded tanks, and again, we've cleaned up the tanks. We've fixed this valve that wasn't sealing. We keep a regular cleaning on our chlorine sensor, so now we can we've narrowed the problem to our primary clarifiers and the way we're feeding. So I think that we'll have that thing licked here shortly. But other than, the upside is that with this upset and with this altered condition, suspended solids is the only thing that we've suffered, and we've managed to keep everything else in check. We did get a high fecal reading that we think is a result of a lab error, because it's about 1,000 times higher than what our normal reading is. And the reading the day before and the day after are normal, and then all of a sudden you get a reading that's 1,000 times higher, and you return right back to normal. In most cases, that's an example of an error in collections or in collecting it or somewhere in the sampling. It's usually not an actual reading, so. All these things have been reported to the water board at this point. We're on the verge of possibly hitting the point where it triggers a minimum fine. Again, given our circumstances, it's where we are right now. We don't expect to be going through this again for the entire next month. Projects in progress right now. We have Garen Taylor Associates. We're still working with on the sewer bridge. What's happened with Fish and Game is that we submitted a permit, and in the permit we gave ourselves an option of being able to catch the scraping from the pipe either by a slung tarp underneath or by something on the ground. And Fish and Game came back and said they don't want us to give ourselves the option that we need to define clearly one way that we're going to do it. So now we're resubmitting with a singular plan for collecting any scrapings that might come off as a result of cleaning the pipe. Digester number one, we are open, prepared to clean it, but with everything else going on, it's on the back burner right now. It's not impacting plant processes or anything. We began work with MKA, Mike Nunley Associates Engineers, to draft the RFP for the grit removal system. We should be ready to present that to the board at our next meeting. Staff has begun planning for installation of mechanical bar screen, again, with the help of Mike Nunley and Associates, for preparing FRFPs. We began a video recording standard operational procedures with Digital Mentor, and they've also began converting our equipment operating manuals to digital format for uses by operations staff. Again, the ultimate plan with digital mentoring is that we would consolidate all our information, have it available for operators on iPads, so that as they go throughout the plant, and they would have all the information that we normally have to run back and forth in the building with at your fingertips, in addition to having our SCADA controls available to them at their fingertips throughout the plant. Also, staff is currently developing the SCADA screen. We actually have a one working SCADA screen now. So it's going slowly because we chose it was decided a long time ago that we would implement this ourselves using our staff so that we would have an understanding of how to operate it, how to fix it, without having to constantly call in an IT person. So it's going along slowly, but it's actually going along as designed. The project itself. And then, of course, there's a replacement of the sewer pipeline. We've already purchased the pipes. The pipes are on site. We purchased the associated valves. We expect to possibly have those by the end of the week. The construction company, Baker, has come in. They've already dug the holes that they need to dig to be able to get down and insert the pipe. So we're right on the verge of getting started. I think that our staff decided we need to run another emergency or backup pipe in addition to the 112-inch we have, because the 112-inch pipe doesn't give us enough capacity at high flows. And before we totally take that 30-inch pipe out of commission, we decided it's best for us to go ahead and get a second pipe in there so that we can handle heavy flows. So that pipe will be installed parallel to the existing emergency 12-inch pipe on tomorrow. And when that pipe is installed, then our construction contractor, will begin cutting into the old line and installing the pipe. If all goes well, we could have this project done in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Again, they've come on, they've dug, Baker's come on, they've been great. They've dug up the holes already. They put themselves in a position that as soon as we're prepared, they can begin installing the pipe. Let's see. The Sheriff's Department has cleared out the indigent camp encampment adjacent to our plant. The county utilities manager came out and brought a map, and the camp is actually on district property. And so after they cleared out the camp, the sheriff came and asked us to post private property signs so that they would stay out, and if they don't, with the private property signs posted, then the sheriff could immediately remove them if they try to return. So we have posted private property signs. The sheriff department asked us if we would consider putting a fence around the perimeter of our entire property line to prevent any encampment, any further encampments. At this point, Deputy Flores came. He informed me that it was empty. He encouraged us to bring one of those big trash can dumpster things over and get that area cleaned out in that camp, again, to deter any return to the camp. The plan is to have one tomorrow and maybe add some additional staff, temporary staff, to get that area cleaned out before the indigents return to start forming camp again. But anyway, kudos to our sheriff department. They got them out of there, and they made us part of it. So now it's up to us to do our part to secure district property and prevent this from happening again on our property. I understand that there has been mention from the community around our plant about our brine trucks coming in and speeding through the neighborhood. Thought that was a little strange because we haven't changed anything with regard to our brine. What has happened, though, is we have started construction. What will happen is I will speak with each and every truck driver that comes into the plant and make sure that they know that they need to obey the speed laws around the plant and that that they should be careful with the public. I didn't know about it till now, and we'll deal with it. But I don't know that it's our brine drivers so much as maybe the new construction drivers. It doesn't matter. We'll talk to everyone and make sure everyone knows that we have a sound community that's concerned about their safety, and they need to be careful as they roll through. Amy's not here, so yeah, on the financial report we did for the fiscal year 2014-15, we managed to have our revenues exceed our expenditures by $1 million. Of course, that looks like a million, but it is $1 million cash. We have $1 million cash more than we did at the beginning of the fiscal year. And our staff is really tickled that we were able to operate the plant and be so efficient. We had two violations during that period of time. We managed to complete a lot of projects. So it was not only not spending, but we were actually able to be extremely effective during that time. But when the auditors come, there will be depreciation. So it won't look like a million. There are a couple of projects that we didn't get to. We didn't spend the money, but there's places to spend it. It's, again, like the general manager likes to caution me when I get all happy about this, because we do have things that we need to do with that money. It's not just free money, but I think it's good to demonstrate to the public that we are working to be efficient in everything, and that, you know, we can operate in a way that we can have enough funds to cover us during times like now, where we have the emergency project. It's not such a big deal, and we have a billing agency issue, and all of a sudden with the extra $1 million in the bank for the moment, it becomes not such a big deal. These are the things that again, our staff's, you know, I really want to thank our staff. They worked really hard, because in that, I think what the point I'm trying to get to is, in that, we haven't given up any quality. We've actually gotten better with the way that the district performed this year, and we've gotten better at a lower expense. So our staff members, you know, they really, I just want to commend them. And I'll leave that. Not a board member, but you guys are violating decorum now. So that is the end of my report. Again, we have some work to do on our suspended solids. I believe that we have an answer. I've spoken to a couple of other chief plant operators and at least one engineer, and we kind of rolled over the possibilities of the causes and what we could do about it. And so we'll continue to pursue that. I expect at the next meeting to be able to report that that we've solved it. We discovered what the actual cause is and solved it. And with that, that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much. Board comments on the report?
John, I do have a couple of questions. First of all, thank you for addressing the trucks coming through the neighborhood. As you well know, I've gotten a lot of calls on this, and so I want to thank you for talking to the drivers and realizing that that bridge only holds 12,000 pounds. That's it. So also, too, is that last month you had mentioned that the TSS levels was just a temporary situation and that they would go down, and in this month they're even higher, and so I'm slightly concerned about it being a temporary issue, but I'm willing to accept the argument that with the pipe in transition, that it could possibly be that. And I didn't know that you processed other people's brine until the neighbors started calling me about these trucks going in full and coming out empty, and I'm like, huh, I don't get it, you know. And then after a few more calls, I understood. But I have worked very closely with the Sheriff Donovan in cleaning out the San Luis Obispo's largest homeless encampment ever in the history of the county. So it's taken a lot of entities and a lot of divisions to get in there and legally do it, because there are some rights there. And I wanted to tell you, as much as, you know, we have this love-hate relationship going on, Oceano OCSD does have a garbage fund. And, you know, we might want to put all our swords down and talk about tap using the garbage fund to clean up that strip of land right there. And we would, I know the board and staff would entertain that, and I think we could work together on getting that cleaned out. And it's going to take way more than one roll-off to clean that out. But it's been 3 or 4 days since I've been back there, so I don't know. But my big issue today is the E. coli. I'm super, super worried about the E. coli levels. I don't know if they're out testing the waters right now or what's going on, but it's such a deadly disease. The fecal coli, E. coli, we call it.
Are you...
The fecal coli.
I know what you're saying.
You want me to get really graphic?
No, I'm saying, are you getting the numbers from
your report?
Here, or where are you getting those numbers from?
Well, I'm looking at your report, and historically the plant has had high numbers, but they're traditionally not this high.
Which number do you see as extremely high?
2,000.
That's the limit.
The limit. So the average is 21, the high is 79. And so are you saying we're within range? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 2,000 is our limit. So 21 is 90% below our allowable limit.
Well, I'll have to go back and look at the report and look at this one too, because the first time I looked at the report, they looked high. So I'm actually happy to hear that.
Yeah, we actually tested the beach.
Is there another meeting going on or something?
We actually tested the beach just a couple of days ago. We got the results back for E. coli at the beach. It's been a concern. It's the E. coli numbers at the beach are the same as they have been for several years. They're right at 10 and below.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
I learned a lot more about the sanitation district than I knew coming in here tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to thank you and thank the staff as well for getting us through very challenging times with the pipe break and so forth, and getting the emergency pipe and pumps and so forth set up such that we can continue to operate with minimal collateral damage, as you mentioned. So very well done by all. I'm primarily concerned, of course, with personnel and industrial safety, which goes to speeding trucks in the general vicinity as well. And just to make sure that if we're digging trenches, that we have proper shoring and we're doing all the proper safety things that we need to be doing, and watching the contractors as though they were our own employees and holding them to the same standards that we maintain. And I also appreciate your having words with the truck drivers that might be a little eager to get through the local neighborhood. Is there any public comment on the report?
There's things you see at these meetings when you're here versus watching them on TV, and I noticed Mr. Clemens was uncomfortable having to talk about the issues that he's dealing with, but those are part and parcel of what he deals with, and he was proactive. So I really appreciate that, and I hope the fine is minimal because of his being proactive. He has shown the ability to be proactive and also look back on incidences and kind of debrief and determine how he can be better, and he's always done that. And it comes through in his discussion, so there's no reason you should be uncomfortable with what you're doing. This is part and parcel with what happens with what you do. I'm a little distressed by about the fine because it seems to me that it was unforeseen. There was no way that we could have resolved it. So I'm hoping that we can talk about minimizing that fine. Beyond that, the issue of fencing the entire district property, I think, is a good one. And I think you should take it up. We shouldn't be dealing with homeless encampments if we can put a fence around it and not deal with this issue in the future. We clearly should have a safe perimeter for the plant and for the staff and not be an attractive nuisance for people that are having struggles and hard times in their lives and want to use it as a place to stay. I have nothing against those people, but we should not have that as a place that they feel easily attracted to. So I'm hoping that you will put on the agenda or talk to management about putting a fence around the entire perimeter so that we're not dealing with this issue in the future. Thank you so much.
Could we ask the staff to either consider some fencing as necessary there and or if it's necessary to bring that back before the board? Because we have had fires, there's obviously very serious potential health risks with people trespassing on the district's property, and I share those concerns. It's definitely a public health and safety issue that I think we need to properly address. Is there any other comment on the report?
Patty Welsh. John, you deserve to be giddy about the $1 million that's there right now. You guys work so well as a team. You do a lot of work in-house. You know, yeah, it can be spent somewhere else, but go ahead and be giddy, because I'd like to see the lawsuit numbers go down like you've worked and have a $1 million in bank. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comment on the report?
Beatrice Spencer, Aurora Grande. I just wanted to also compliment Mr. Clemens and his team on a lean, mean, fighting machine. You guys are running a great program. It's a little discouraging, though, to watch Mr. Clemens and his team work so hard to eke and save every dollar for us, and I feel like what he works so hard just gets offset by legal fees, things that just seem to... I appreciate the fact that he's so responsive. I wish we could see that kind of turnaround time. When we're talking about this fence now, I have in my mind that we're not going to have this fence approved before the encampment's reestablished again. At the rate we're going, everything seems to move so slow. There needs to be a way, and I don't know whether it's having a general manager that works more hours, if Mr. Sweet can't find the time. I know 10 hours a week isn't a lot of time to get these things done. We're dealing with the redundancy program. Now we keep putting more and more and more on his plate. The job just may require a more full-time staff member to do it. Nothing against Mr. Sweet, but you just look at everything that ends up on his plate, and there's a lot of irons in the fire right now. Maybe it is time to reconsider getting someone at least more full time for that position. But good job to Mr. Clemens, and let's hope the fence goes up before the people come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment on the report? And I duly note that the redundancy program is going to be quite expensive as well. Thank you very much, John, for the report. We'll receive and file. With that, can we take a 5-minute recess, please?
We're coming back from the break. At this time, it's approaching 8:30, and I'd like to call a recess in the normal board meeting because we have a special meeting scheduled for 8:30. And I would therefore like to proceed with the special meeting. This is a special meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, Wednesday, August 5th, 2014. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Director Rickey. Director Nichols.
Here.
Chairman
Hill. Here. So the meeting does have a quorum. We can move forward. Mr. Sweet, would you introduce the item on the agenda this evening?
This is a special meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. I'd like the record to reflect that Director Lucy is now here. And the item is consideration of district approach, the Oceano Community Services District's approach to not bill or collect from customers for district services. This discussion started in May of this year and arose pertaining to the ability of the OSCSD to justify their costs to the district for billing and collection services. At the June 3rd board meeting, the board directed that member agencies not be paid for billing services pending and billing options be presented to the board. At the June 17th board meeting, the board directed that pending payments to member agencies be paid and that the district engage in discussions with the member agencies. At the July 1st board meeting, the board considered options for billing services during the period in which negotiations with member agencies are underway, and the board authorized legal counsel to begin investigation analysis of all legally feasible options for customer billing, but to make no commitments during the interim period. At the July 10th, 2015, on July 10th, the district received correspondence from OCSD indicating that lacking agreement from the district and an agreement with the district and the OCSD for billing processing collection, the OCSD would no longer be able to provide these services on behalf of the district. The OCSD offered to continue these services at a rate of $36.66 per 2-month billing period. In addition, the OCSD provided a line item justification for the amounts charged for their billing services. They offered to have a special meeting to consider any agreement that we may have offered the district, the OCSD, at that time. The board acted not to consider and declined to enter into a short-term agreement with the OCSD. On August 1st, new billings for the OCSD were mailed out. OCSD did not include charges to the district for sewer and wastewater services, much as they indicated in their prior correspondence. And they included a message on their bill stating the following. The South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District provides wastewater treatment and disposal for Oceano, Grover Beach, and Aurora Grande. Recently, the Sanitation District has decided to no longer use OCSD billing services to collect their customer bills. Your enclosed bill no longer has an item for San District. If you're interested in how the Sanitation District will now bill you for their services, please contact the Sanitation District at, and it gives their phone number. The agenda item on this issue approved by the publicly elected OCSD board to continue services can be viewed at their website for the board meetings of May 27th and June 10th. Chairman Hill contacted me on Monday and requested that, consistent with district bylaws, a special meeting be held to discuss this issue, and that's where we are tonight. As attachments, there was a staff report from the meeting of July 15th, and it includes the staff reports that have occurred in the prior three times. This is the July 15th item, the June 17th item, and the July 1st item. I don't see the July 1st item. With that, this is open for board discussion.
Okay, I did request this meeting be held and that this item be discussed. First of all, let me say that I'm pleased to see that Oceano, in their billing, has indicated to their residents that the amount for the owing to the sanitation district board would no longer be collected by way of giving notice to the public. And my primary concern, I think, for this evening's discussion is that I would hope that the board would agree to mail at least a postcard to Oceano residents or provide a posting such as a door hanging, something of that nature, to indicate to members of the public that the billing for the sanitation district is not stopped, that in fact it is continuing at the rate already established, which is generally, certainly for the residential customers, is a fixed rate, and that that this board could then take up proposals to find alternate means of collecting the revenue due. But I'd like to at least see that the district provides as immediately as possible to notification of the affected residents and businesses in the jurisdiction.
Did you want to open this to public comment?
Yes. Is there a comment immediately from the board to indicate the item before public comment, or would you like to go to public comment directly? Okay, is there public comment? Would have to be limited to the topic on the special meeting tonight.
Tim Brown, Arroyo Grande. I also serve on the City Council of Arroyo Grande. I want to say a few things. I agree with Ms. Lucy that you should not do anything without a contract. I think it should be, there's been too long a word-of-mouth kind of thing, a handshake, and it needs to be something that's fair and equitable to all parties. And so I'm asking you not to agree to pay any fees that are requested until there's a contract in place. Secondly, I would say because we're not collecting it now does not mean we can't collect it in the future. I know your council will confirm that. The services have been rendered, and you will be able to collect at some point in the future. I would also note that the district, before appreciation, has collected enough funds that we don't have to deal with this issue. There's no urgency to have to deal with it now, at this minute. If the parties still need discussion, we can do that. There's been $1 million in revenue collected. The district is not in such financial shape that there's some sort of urgency that means that we have to do it tonight. So I would ask you to think about that when you're discussing it. Lastly, I would say that given what's going on with this joint powers authority and the fire authority, I'm going to be coming forward along with, I think, other council members to our council to be talking about rules regarding JPIAs and just regarding our JPAs, regarding how we function, because I think both this board and the fire board are seeing some dysfunction, and we need to think about what's best for all jurisdictions going forward. We need to find a workable way to move forward, because obviously this is taking far too long and it's become incredibly dysfunctional. Now that we have video cameras, I think the public is going to see how dysfunctional the fire authority and this board are, and there's no reason for that. We should be able to find an equitable way to be fair to all parties. But I'm specifically requesting, because of the $1 million revenue and Ms. Lucy's comments about not doing anything without a contract, that you don't rush into something that's unfavorable to the district, because I don't think the public will appreciate that. We deserve to have the best contract available. And so I hope that you are mindful of that in your deliberations when you talk about what you're going to do going forward.
There's been far too many handshake agreements that are fine until, you know what, hits the fan, and then all of a sudden those handshake agreements don't mean a whole lot anymore. It's true with this district, and it's true with the fire district. All of a sudden, because a certain district is having problems collecting revenue, they've changed their discussion, so it's all that more important that we have written discussion or written contracts about what is fair. And I want to be fair to all parties, including Oceano, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande. It's unfathomable that we've been going as long as we have for all jurisdictions, and Arroyo Grande included, without a written contract. It boggles my mind. There's no other business that would allow these kind of revenues to change hands without a written contract. So maybe it's worked in the past, but experience has shown us in this regard that it's not working now. So we need to be thoughtful. We need to be intellectually rigorous, and we need to understand what's at stake. And I don't think there's any urgency, given the revenue that's come in, that we have to do something overnight. I want to be fair to Oceano. I want to be fair to Grover Beach. I want to be fair to Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this particular item?
Ron Holt, Pismo Beach, or excuse me, Arroyo Grande. I mostly agree with Mr. Brown's comments, but I do think that there is a little bit of urgency in the fact that it can take quite a while once a decision is made to set up a billing system, however it's done through the county in-house. And I don't want to, I would like to ask that you don't delay too long in getting going on this, because it may not, we may be able to wait out a few months, but if it drags on for a year or more, it could cause some problems with the district, I think, and I'd like to see that addressed, especially since some of these processes can take time. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Julie Tacker, and I'm sorry, there was no staff report up until midday today, so I compiled sort of a little history, and I sent it all to you yesterday evening. And what the theme that runs throughout all this discussion, as far back as May, was that your board directed your staff to work out an equitable solution among the three agencies. It appears that most of the time was spent beating your head against the wall in Oceano, where Mr. Ogren clearly doesn't want to flex away from $22,000 a year. The action at the last board meeting, I'm pretty sure we're done with Oceano. They've moved on. They're billing their customers without the component of your service charge. And so when I saw this special agenda item, it says consideration of district's approach to Oceano Community Services District's approach to not bill or collect from customers for district services. That's a mouthful. I don't think it says what it means. I think what it means, and what I'd like to think it means, is that we have a situation here that needs remedy, and we need to expedite a remedy, not reconsider Oceano, or because it kind of sounds like you want to go back to Oceano and try to hammer out some other deal or try to get them to do it for you. I think we just want to move on. And this morning, because, well, even before I saw the staff report, I reached out to the county auditor, controller, tax assessor, Mr. Erb, and asked the question, what does it take? And he actually said he hadn't been approached by your district. And I pressed him further, to ask his staff if maybe somebody on staff had been approached. And what concerns me with his answer is that 2 weeks from tonight, your legal counsel, your general manager, is supposed to have all the options in front of you. All the feasible options are to be in front of you. And if you haven't had a sit-down with the county tax assessor, collector, I think we're, again, very late to the game. We're nowhere. And I would have thought that this staff report would have given some sort of update on what avenues have been pursued. Have you called a private billing service? Have you looked into how to get all the customer data? You know, some kind of update I think you could have thrown together, and you'd have more to work from tonight as far as consideration of the district's approach to the Oceano Community Services District's approach to not bill or collect from customers of the service district. It's what's the remedy, and how fast can we get there? So I'm disappointed. I think the deliberation among the entities, the agencies, the finance directors, you could come up with a formula for Grover and Arroyo Grande, but Oceano's out, and you need to find alternative services either right away or get in with the county right now and have those discussions.
Thank you. Any other comment on the item? Ms. Peterson first.
Just a really quick suggestion, and I suspect you all know what you're doing and probably don't need my help here, but SLOCO data could rattle out a postcard really quickly at very low cost, probably do it within 24 to 48 hours, and they probably already have all the ratepayers' addresses on their files.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer.
I pulled up something from the meeting last time, and it's with respect to this. I honestly think we need to take a look at possibly, if we can't work out an agreement between Grover and Arroyo, putting Grover on the tax rolls as well. And I am all in favor of getting that done as quickly as possible, because as Director Lucy said, it seems to be the most cost-efficient way for the ratepayers to pay that. But I'm looking at Grover's charges of $20,000 when they have provide services for 4,800 people, and Arroyo Grande provides services for 6,500 people and charges a little over $12,000. So not only is Oceano way out of the ballpark at 22, Grover is also out of line at 20 for serving less customers or providing less services. So unless Grover can come back to the table and agree to something equitable, I think we need to consider, you know, and at that point, if you're going to put two out of the three on the tax rolls, maybe you just do all three of them. But this is inequitable, not just only with respect to Oceano's billing, but Grover Beach doesn't seem to be in line either, and either that's because Arroyo Grande's low, something, but this is way out of whack, and it's not just Oceano that's doesn't seem to follow any kind of a real mathematically consistent pattern. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I agree with what Ms. Spencer just said about the cost. I mean, across the board, it just doesn't seem fair to Oceano. But the other thing was is that at the last meeting, it was determined that we would give Mr. Sweet a month to come back with something. All I have to say is I hope you come back with something at this point. This is getting a little ridiculous, and it seems as though you're playing a little bit of kick the can, and I'm personally getting tired of it. I'd like to see a solution here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, back to the board for discussion. The situation is what it is for whatever reason, and I'm concerned that the ratepayers, especially in Oceano, since the district's component of the wastewater treatment billing is not any longer being billed on their with the package with the rest of their utility billing, that our district also reach out to those customers to inform them that our charges for service have not magically stopped, and that we will be pursuing, you know, some means to be determined probably in 2 weeks when the staff comes back to maintain continuity of our billing process. But I think we owe it to the residents of Oceana to provide notice from, again, I compliment OCSD for providing the notice in their billing that was sent out to their residents by way of explanation, and I would request that our board move to provide similar notice while we are working out whatever solution might be worked out, given that the staff is expected to come back in a couple weeks with a recommendation of options. So.
If the bill from Grover is not have been received yet, why would, but is in the process of being billed, why would the district not pay them? Which is in option one.
That, I think you might be referring to a prior staff report. Subsequently to that, the staff, they did pay that bill that Grover had requested at the June 17th.
Right. I have an August 5 staff report. That's what was forwarded to me.
There are some attachments to the staff report, so we've attached old staff reports. So that might be what you're looking at.
Well, on my email, there was no attachment. There was no staff report attachment. It's just the agenda. I'm speaking from the agenda here. It seems to me that, you know, this has been going on for many years, and it seems, I thought it was. It's on. It seems to me that the simplest solution, the most direct solution, is to go out for bid on somebody to do the billing for the whole association, or JPA as Mr. Brown refers to it. That way there's no infighting as to who's charging more or who's charging less. It's one rate for every person, and the cities are going to lose some revenue, and the district is not going to lose anything. It's been paying out revenue to the cities in the Sand District, or the Oceano District, and it will have to pay someone else to do it if they can't do it in-house.
I pretty much tend to agree with it, and I hope that when staff comes back in 2 weeks with the list of options, that that would be one of the options presented, certainly. Mary, comment?
So, first of all, I don't know what Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach has passed in as far as draft contracts. I know that Oceano's created a draft contract, and we've absorbed, you know, legal cost and staff time and stuff to create that contract for this body, but that contract was not accepted by this body. I know that this board directed staff to work with OCSD and maybe modifying the contract, and this board chose not to do that either. And so I have to ask, what have the mayors done in AG and Grover? Have they submitted any contracts to be considered? That, to me, you've gotten three different ideas. You've had legal counsel create a contract. You've had us create a contract. And then we also offered to even break it down further and bill month to month. I mean, you know, pay cycle to pay cycle, and that was pushed back too. You know, as far as comparing the geographic areas and the difference in costs, you know, it happens. Oceano just paid 50% increase to the Five Cities Fire Authority. AG didn't include do a 50% increase. You know, it happens with contracts. You know, it happens with areas. There was a 50% increase for dispatch. We paid it. You know, we understood it and we paid it. You know, this retaliatory action towards Oceano is not benefiting, certainly not the Sand District in any way. So I have to go back and, you know, Oceano has done everything we possibly can to assist the Sand District in getting contracts put in place. And so there's, you know, some guidelines, and whatever has been submitted isn't good enough, wasn't enough, you know, need this, need that. I mean, we held a special meeting. I mean, I'm not quite sure what you want from us. You know, we strongly encourage you to go to the county. We strongly encouraged you to go to the county. You know, I don't know what you thought would happen when we did meter reading and printed our bills. I mean, really, what did you expect to happen? I sat here three times and said, do you realize what you're voting for? Do you realize what you're voting for? Your staff told you, do you realize what the fiscal impact will be? Grover, AG, said they were clearly aware of what the fiscal impact would be. They clearly understood what they were doing, and the vote was taken 2-1. So, you know, I've brought minutes, whatever you want from OCSD, but you know what? I think that we've done everything possible to accommodate this district.
And we appreciate your efforts to be accommodating, and if that's found to be economically viable, then I'm sure the district would entertain that. Your point about all the agencies having a contract going forward is absolutely valid, and it is a fact that Arroyo Grande, I can't speak for Grover Beach, but I know that Arroyo Grande has not yet offered a contract for that service, and that is something that the city of Arroyo Grande will be working to present in short order. But again, this board needs to do what it feels is in the best interest of all of the residents of the sanitation district, not just one or other of the parent jurisdictions.
And Director Hill, I'd also like to point out, too, is that when the agenda was put out, it was titled Oceano's Failure to Bill. We did not fail in anything. We did not fail to bill for the Sand District. There's no contract. We legally cannot bill.
This, I did not prepare the agenda, obviously, for this meeting, nor the...
Oh, it's poor choice of words.
If I may, my biggest concern in all this is the ratepayers. If Oceano has not sent out bills or is not going to send out bills, if Grover is or is not, if AG is or is not, while we sit and debate these issues, Are the taxpayers not getting billed? Will they be 2 months down the road or 3 months down the road or 4 months down the road get hit with one bill for the whole period of time? Because that's totally unfair to the tax or the ratepayers.
It is.
Yeah, my concern is, again, that I would hope that the district would move this evening to provide notice to the affected residents, which are those who are whose billing has been changed from the billing 2 months ago that did include sanitation district charges, to inform them that their sanitation district charges are still accruing and are no longer being collected by the local agency. So I would move at this point that we direct the general manager to provide notice to the customers in Oceano that the sanitation district charges are no longer being collected by the OCSD, and that the sanitation district is working to either restore that relationship or provide an alternative, but the charges due the sanitation district are still accruing.
And Mr. Hill, I think one of the problems too is that the county bills under APN numbers and the bills go out under addresses, and that is very timely. And if you've lost the deadline with the county to put all those in, it's not just like downloading all the APNs, because billing goes out by address.
We have all addresses.
John?
But you we understand you. Is the county bills as APN numbers.
We understand that. What I'd like to do is provide as much notice as possible to the residents in Oceana. That's my point for this evening. 2 weeks
from now.
What about the rest of the residents?
We'll be happy to get you
current. The rest of the residents
current.
Are being billed by Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande are still billing the residents as they have traditionally. The best of my understanding, there is not a contract in place to do that, which I think is lacking. I certainly share your position on that.
As long as billing isn't delayed,
but
while...
But the billing is continuing in Arroyo Grande and in Grover Beach, as I understand it. But the residents of Oceano now have received a reduced utility bill and may be under the false impression that sanitation district charges are no longer accruing. So I want to make sure that that notice is distributed as widely as possible so that the residents aren't ultimately inconvenienced by a totally unexpected bill. So that's my motion to proceed this evening. And the district staff is charged with bringing to us options at the next scheduled meeting that we might consider for moving forward.
I certainly would support notifying the public as to the situation, but also it does help if there's a code that you can reference saying that we legally can go and back bill. I don't know, there has to be a code on public utilities and how far you can go back and back bill, and does it have to be in that billing cycle? I mean, there's a lot of questions, so I guess that would be for legal counsel and reference that on the postcards. I would support that. That's fine with that.
I'll take that as a second to the fine. To the motion. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we direct staff to provide notice to the residents of Oceano as widely as possible that the district's billing is no longer a part of their local utility bill, and that the sanitation district is working to either restore that or provide an alternative means of collecting the revenues that are due the sanitation district for the services. May I have a roll call, please?
Well, I'd actually like you to put some language around codes.
And we'll also direct staff to include a citation of the code that authorizes the sanitation district to collect for our revenues.
Second.
May we have roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Chair Hill?
Yes. Okay, that concludes the business of the special meeting, which I will look for a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Special meeting is adjourned, and we will recommence our regular meeting. We've concluded the plant superintendent's report. That brings us to item 8. On the regular agenda, which is board action on individual items. The first is 8A, to review and approve the continuing emergency action to repair the influent pipeline. Mr. Swade.
The recommendation is that the board review and approve continuing emergency action in conformance with Public Contracts Code Section 22050 to repair the influent pipeline and make the following findings: that the emergency action will not permit a delay resulting from a competitive solicitation for bids, and that the action is necessary to respond to the emergency. As this report has been provided in its substantial, in same substantial form in the last meeting, I will entertain questions that the board may have at this time.
Are there questions from the board? Hearing none, is there public comment on this item?
No, I just want to say that you're moving very quickly down there, and that's good.
We much appreciate it. I would then move that we approve the continuing emergency action in conformance with Public Contracts Code Section 22050 to repair the influent pipeline, and that we make the following findings. First, that the emergency action will not permit a delay resulting from a competitive solicitation for bids. And second, that the action is necessary to respond to the emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichol?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Moving to item 8B, this is to review and approve the proposal from Moss Levy and Hartsheim LLP to prepare the 2015 audit. Mr. Sweet.
MLH, which is Moss Levy and Hartsheim, has performed the district audit for the prior 4 years. The board recently approved the 2014 audit prepared by MLH on July 1st, 2015. MLH has prepared a proposal and the same amount that they had prepared the 2014 audit, which is $6,045. As a note, there are two exclusions, and I wanted to briefly talk about that. They saying they're not going to audit the management discussion analysis, and that is the presentation by the district, which refers to the general financial standing, and it generally cites the figures noted in the MLH report, and MLH does not usually audit the statement of the district. And the net pension liability, which is an issue that our board has shown some concern about, and CalPERS develops the value of net pension liability, and the value that CalPERS developed is not generally reviewed by the auditor. That number is generally considered correct by the auditor. So with that, I will take any board comment or any motion the board feels necessary. Oh, by the way, this is the board has a policy to not use the same firm for a period of greater than 5 years. So this would be the last year that MLH would be doing that review, and it would be we'd need to go out for an RFP to find it. Another firm for the next 5 years or whatever period the board determines.
Rick, can I ask that that this time the auditors do a report? I mean, they did a written report, but there was no oral presentation.
Actually, I believe Mr. Hom did come in and make a report.
Oh, he did.
Mr. Hom came twice to make reports. There was one time he did not come, which it was considered, I wish he would have come, because the audit's a complex item, and I am not an auditor. And there were questions asked for which Mr. Brown correctly analyzed that I, as an auditor or controller and engineer was not prepared to answer. So I wish I would have had him there for those.
Thanks.
But he did indeed come, as Mr. Sweet indicates, he came twice to make comments on first the draft audit and then the final audit. Barbara, comment or questions?
No questions or comments.
Is there public comment on this item? Hearing none? Do we have a motion to proceed?
I move that we accept the proposal, review and accept the proposal from Moss Levi Hartzheim for preparation of the 2015 audit.
Second. It's been moved and seconded then that the board approve the staff recommendation to continue and approve the proposal from Moss Levi Hartzheim LLP for preparation of the 2015 audit. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Nickel?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Item 8C is approve a proposal from MKN Associates for project management support for the redundancy project. Mr. Sweet.
On February 18th, the board received a report from Kenny Jenks Consultant to describe the redundancy project, and the report detailed a plan that would provide plant redundancy and compliant with EPA guidelines. The plan upgrades also anticipate stricter discharge requirements. Presently, the plant has a 40-40 BOD and suspended solids standard, and we anticipate those standards would be lowered to 30-30. Which will require an upgrade to plant processes. This process would be involved the construction of an activated sludge process, which requires a new aeration tank and a new secondary clarifier. March 27th, the board met with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, who was interested in getting our timeline and estimate for moving ahead with the project. Also, we have a pending rate study being prepared by Bartles and Wells. It also requires a comprehensive estimate and a timeline. We've met with Kennedy Jenks Consultants in that regard. We feel that we need some assistance in refining the estimate and timeline to make sure it adequately reflects issues we've actually heard at this board meeting concerning reporting and including of comprehensive issues such as peer review and our constructability review and construction management. So we'd like to make sure that we get a comprehensive estimate and timeline which includes both permitting, environmental, and complete construction support requirements. And we've asked MKN to help us with that. Mike Nunley with MKN, the principal of MKN, is here to speak to us this evening. The amount of the proposal is a small amount, which is $5,000, and we should be able to bring back a report to the board in 2 to 3 meetings on what his results of that were. So with that, I will be glad to entertain any questions, and once again, Michael Nunley is here to respond to any questions you may have of him.
Okay, first of all, questions from the board?
None.
Did we ask Kennedy Jenks about the perceived shortfalls in their reporting?
We have had discussions requesting the estimates, and there is the person who is the principal in charge has been he had an operation, and we didn't feel the responses we were getting provided us the information that was comprehensive enough to meet with the requirements that I'm hearing from both the board and the public in regarding the issues, especially the permitting issue regarding the coastal permit and what type of timeline we may be involved in developing that within the schedule.
Has the district staff approached the Coastal Commission to inquire about
such items?
No, we have not. We were, Michael Nunley was, has looked at incorporating a person who has had some experience in this regard to assess that issue and try to define both a cost and a timeline associated with getting that permit.
Okay. So, and I understand Mr. Nunley has worked with the district on other projects previously.
He has worked with the district on our grit removal system, and he's familiar with our project. He has extensive experience in the area of wastewater and is a local firm having an office here in Arroyo Grande, which is unique. There aren't a lot of local firms with that type of experience. Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are my questions. Is there public comment on this item?
Thank you, Chairman Hill. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And I've spoken to you before about this redundancy and upgrade project. My belief is that if you're going to retain MKN, the first thing that they should do is conduct a feasibility analysis. These upgrades are going to cost a lot of money. The estimate you have now is $12 million. By the time the dust settles, it could be substantially more. And I have some concerns in that regard. And ostensibly, the budget and timeline that would be generated would be used for purposes of your pending rate increase. And then that rate increase would be pursued through Prop 218, resulting in the funds necessary to carry out a project. However, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, I think the feasibility is critically important in this connection. The redundancy project really dates back to 2005, and a lot has happened in the last 10 years. Most notably, our experience with the earthquake in Japan and the concerns about climate change and sea level rise. July 8th in Ventura, the California Coastal Commission considered their draft sea level rise policy guidance document. Next Wednesday, they're going to be approving this very same document, that is, the Coastal Commission will be. And then, as recently as last Thursday and Friday, the Water Board met regarding a number of things, most notably was climate change as it relates to public infrastructure. So unfortunately, within the Water Board, our regional board, you're getting a message from one part of the office about the need for redundancy and upcoming more restrictive effluent requirements, but there's still another part of their office that would like to talk about sea level rise and the future of infrastructure at the location it presently is. It's my belief that the sanitation district facilities are on land that's less than 10 feet above sea level. So I think there is this backdrop that needs to be considered. MKN may be well qualified to again, conduct this feasibility analysis. I would encourage meeting with all divisions of the Water Board staff to get the big picture, not only on redundancy and future requirements, but also about their concerns over climate change. And then with regard to the California Coastal Commission, their staff in Santa Cruz, Daniel Robinson is probably the best staff person to make contact with there. And again, I would suggest that the scope of work, if you're intending to indeed retain MKN, I think the scope of work should be modified and maybe a two-part effort where the very first thing that's done is confer more with Water Board staff and coastal staff to determine if you're on the right path. It would be a shame to go down this path only to determine that you had to start over after spending quite a bit of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there other public comment on the item? Hearing none, Mr. Sweet indicated Mr. Nunley's in the audience and would perhaps like to address the item.
Thank you. My name is Mike Nunley, MKN and Associates. I want to thank you for considering our proposal. We're excited about the opportunity to work with the district on this project. One thing I would say is you know, the objective of the proposal we've submitted is to determine the timeline for the various studies, permitting, design, construction, startup and commissioning process, and also to determine, take the studies that have been performed by Kennedy Jenks and also the peer review report by Carollo, and review those and identify which cost elements should possibly be added to account for those. So while our current scope doesn't include anything like a feasibility analysis, if upon review and conferral between me and John Rickenbach, who's my sub-consultant who's going to handle the permitting and Coastal Commission aspect of the work, you know, we'll include timelines and try to identify approximate budgets for that within the work plan, as opposed to trying to nail down a lot of really complicated issues in the next 3 weeks. Because the objective really at this point is to develop a program-level budget and also a program-level schedule, and those the detail kind of gets added as the work proceeds there past this point.
Great.
And the deliverable then is a work plan, which, can you describe that?
Yes, it'll be a technical memorandum with a schedule and also with a budget table. And the technical memorandum will walk through the major constraints or questions that we see based on our review of the work. We're involved I've been involved on many similar issues with other plants. I'm one of the interim program managers for the Morro Bay plant, which is also has addressed some similar planning issues with Coastal Commission and also with regional board in the past. So.
And then budget development would include all of the aspects that not only were identified by Kennedy Jenks and Carollo, but also those that our staff has identified as being still to determine, such as permitting, and so the budget would include all of those items, including what's seen as additional work that Kennedy Jenks or Carollo had not yet proposed.
Yes, sir. That's the one of the objectives here is to kind of perform a gap analysis or identify other allowances that the board should consider at this very preliminary stage of the work to account for those items. Now, it's difficult at this stage to say how much an individual permit might cost or how much an individual permitting effort might cost, because a lot of that depends on the regulatory agencies. A lot of it depends on the final design, but we'll identify those items that we have questions or we see might need further refinement in our work plan.
And so the budget then that would be developed for that would be something that we can provide to our rate consultant to move forward with our rate study and would be able to fill in the blanks there.
Yes, sir. And that's one of the main objectives that that district staff had said is one of the main objectives is to provide a more complete cost opinion for plugging into that rate study and also the timeline attached to it.
And then according to the report that you're prepared to provide the initial technical report effectively 3 weeks from tonight if we were to make the award this evening.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there other comment or questions from the board?
Not
from Mr. Nemley? Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Do we have a motion to proceed?
Go ahead, you make it. I think it's great.
Okay, I move that we approve the proposal from MKN Associates for the project management support for the redundancy project.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the proposal from Michael Nunley and Associates to provide the work plan and budget development as indicated in the proposal. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes, I believe that's the fastest way that we will move forward with this process.
And you'll forward on the timeline for us? And
yes, of course, that report will be presented to the board for their approval.
Okay, item 9 is oral communication. Is there any reports from staff?
Not at this time.
Board members? I outlined to Mr. Sweet the other day just an idea for how I see the priorities of the district being, and that would be personnel and industrial safety number one, because we do have a number of issues going on at the plant where someone could be grievously injured or killed. So industrial safety would be my prime priority. Second, regarding the our obligation to provide competent wastewater treatment for the public would be reliability of the plant, such that we can make sure that we meet those commitments going forward and meet all of our discharge requirements. Third would be redundancy, because in the event that something does go wrong unexpectedly, despite our best efforts at keeping the plant running reliably, that redundancy would be the thing that would allow us to keep meeting discharge requirements, or in fact meet increased discharge requirements going forward. And then fourth would be cost effectiveness. So those are the items that I would hope that if it's agreeable with the board that we view those as the top priorities of the district, that I would request staff would maintain those goals or cornerstones, if you will, when deciding how to spend time on projects and looking for expediting the work of the district. Is there any written communication?
I did receive a written communication. I think everybody was CC'd on it. It came in about 9:47 last night.
Julie Tacker?
Yes.
Okay. Any other written communication?
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, we are ready to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We are adjourned. Cool.